All right, Tabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we have a beautiful daf before us. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin 37. We're going to pick up from the Mishnah on Lamed Bav Amud Beis. So actually, we're going to start a sugya today that is really quite fascinating and actually has very lemaisa, very practical applications, as we'll see in the coming days. So the Mishnah says the following. It says Lamed Vav Amud Beis 36b, three lines up from the bottom. Kol mitzvah sheiteluya ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that is dependent on the land of Israel, ain't no heges ala ba'aretz, is only applicable in the land of Israel. V'she'in et luy ba'aretz, but any mitzvah that is not rooted in the geography of Eretz Yisrael, no heges bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutz la'aretz. Chutz, with a couple of exceptions. Chutz, mina orla, we'll say with two exceptions. Exception number one is Arla. So Arla, of course, refers to the fact that when you plant a fruit tree, for the first 3 years, the fruit is prohibited. Only in year number four does the fruit itself become permitted. So chutz mina Arla. So apparently with the Tanakhama, the first opinion in the Mishnah is saying, is that Arla applies in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutzas. Now, we'll say now, again, as you can understand, this has major ramifications, because what this means is if you plant an apple tree in your backyard, that lamaisa again, the din of Arla would apply even in chutz la'aretz. Ukilayim. So kilayim also means forbidden mixtures. Again, we'll discuss both of these halachas in greater detail. Kilayim means, again, that you're not permitted to plant certain species within a close proximity to each other. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, chutz mina arla v'akilayim, sha'afa pishet l'yos ba'aretz, even though, again, I will say, these seem to be agricultural mitzvos. And normally, when it comes to agricultural mitzvos, the halacha is that they only apply in Eretz Yisrael and not in chutz la'aretz. Nagim af b'chutz la'aretz. The reality is that they apply b'chutz la'aretz as well. Ha'arla halacha, so we will see that arla is a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. We'll discuss all this. Rashi is giving us coming attractions. V'akilayim v'divrei sofrim. And the idea that kilayim, forbidden mixtures, applies, that's a din d'rabbanan. Back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, af ha'chadash. And Bosid is also going to see this already is getting very exciting. Even chadash. Remember, what does chadash refer to? So the halacha is the following. Chadash means any grain that's taken root since last Pesach does not become permitted until the Karban Omer is offered. So the idea, so this, that's Bizman Beis HaMikdash. So again, there was a special Karban that was brought on the second day of Pesach, which in Eretz was the first day of Chol HaMoed, called the Karban HaOmer. It was brought from barley. Once that barley offering was brought, any wheat that had taken root since the last Pesach became permitted for consumption. After that, Karban Omer says essentially what we call is chadash, grain that took, so again, just to illustrate this. So let's say again, it's now going to be Pesach 5776. Any grain that took root since Pesach 5775 is what's called chadash. Chadash is not permitted for consumption until the Karban Omer is offered. Once the Karban Omer is offered on 5776, then chadash becomes Yashan, right? And once Chadash becomes Yashan, then again, then all of that wheat is permitted. And we're going to see in the absence of the Karban HaOmer, it's the date itself, the second day Pesach, that creates the changeover between Chadash to Yashan. So Rabbi Lazar suggests that Chadash also applies in Chutz La'aretz. I will say now, of course, the novelty is we're going to see Chadash is also an agricultural mitzvah. Yet Rabbi Lazar says that it applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So says the Gemara, my Teluya, umay She'ina Teluya. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question. So the Mishnah seemed to espouse a principle. And the principle was, any mitzvah that is Teluya, Teluya literally means dependent. Any mitzvah dependent on the land is only Chayv in Eretz Yisrael. And any mitzvah not dependent on the land is applicable in Eretz Yisrael as well as Chutz La'aretz. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention that the shiur this morning is dedicated in loving memory of Gershon Lippa Ben Azriel, J. Leonard Rubin, Linda Elman's father, on the occasion of his 20th yahrzeit today by the Elman and Rubin families. We hope that the neshama of Gershon Lippa Ben Azriel has a beautiful aliyah.
Amen.
So says the Gemara, what do you mean, Teluya? My Teluya, Ve'ina Teluya, right? What is the meaning, ultimately, again, of a mitzvah that is dependent on the land or a mitzvah that's not dependent on the land? So says says the Gemara, Ilema Tluya Dixiv Bebiya, Visha'ina Tluya, Visha'ina Tluya, Tiloksiv Bebiya. See, if you want to say that Tluya means any mitzvah in which the word Bia, I will say Bia means a coming into the land. So if you're going to tell me that any mitzvah in which the Torah relates and in which the Torah states, when you come into the land, you shall do this, and Ema Tluya means any mitzvah which the Torah does not say, when you come into the land, you will do this, there's a problem. Why? Bahari Tfilin Upeter Chamar Dixiv Bohen Bia. There are certain mitzvahs, interestingly enough, that the Torah phrases them in a way that makes it sound like they're dependent on the land. So, for example, the Torah speaks about, again, when you come into the land, you'll put on tefillin. Or when you come into the land, you'll redeem the firstborn donkeys. And I will say, now we know that those mitzvahs apply outside the land of Israel as well. So, again, it can't be that a mitzvah hatuluyah ba'aret is a mitzvah for which it states when you come into the land. I'm Rabbi Yudach, this is what it means to say. Shavuot says the following. Kol mitzvah shi chobas hadguf. Ah. No heges bein ba'aretz bein l'chutzlar. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda suggests the following. Any mitzvah that is what he calls chobas haguf. Chobas haguf means it's dependent on the person. It's dependent on the person. So that mitzvah, in other words, it's a mitzvah that I perform with my body. So that mitzvah applies bein ba'aretz bein b'chutzlar. That mitzvah applies in the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel. Chobas karka. But if you have a mitzvah that is dependent on the land, in other words, the difference between chovas sukkah and chovas karka is a mitzvah that I perform with my body versus a mitzvah that I perform with the land. Any mitzvah that I perform with my body applies in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Any mitzvah that I only perform with the land only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Eino noheges ela baretz. So I'll say, minahani mili, from where do we know this from? Meaning, how do I know to make this distinction? The Tan Rabban and the rabbis taught, and this is going on the pasuk, Eila hachukim v'mishpatim asher tishmeru la'asos, ba'aret asher nason Hashem alokei avosecha l'chol rishta, kol ha'yamim asher tach asher atim chayim al ha'adama. These are the laws and the statutes that you shall keep to perform them in the land that Hashem, the God of your forefathers, has given you to inherit, all the days in which you live on the land. So now the Gemara is going to break up this pasuk and darshan it. Eila chukim. What does it mean? These are the laws. Elu hamidrashos. We'll say this refers again to the drashos. This refers to the expositions that we make in order to learn certain laws. Vamishpatim. Elu hadinim. Mishpatim refers to the laws. Again, dinim we'll say usually refers to monetary law. Asher tishmarun, that you shall keep. Zu mishnah. This refers to the fact that we have an organized body of law called mishnah. La'asos zumaisa. La'asos means performance, actions, ba'aretz, in the land. So yachol kol mitzvos kulan lo yihu nogim ela ba'aretz. I might have thought that all mitzvos only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Talmud lomar kol hayom mesher atem chayim ala adama. Therefore the pasuk says, all the days that you shall live on this earth. So living on this earth makes it sound like what? That l'maisa again, the mitzvos are obligatory anywhere you are. I kol hayomim. So if it said Kala Yamim, all the days you live on this earth, I might have thought, therefore, all mitzvos apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Tamud Lomar Ba'aretz. Therefore, the pasuk says, in the land, Ach, see, now you understand, we have two opposite drushas over here. On one hand, the pasuk says, Kol hayamim, what's the lashon? Kol hayam asharatam chayim ala adamo. All the days in which you will live on this earth, which makes it sound like mitzvahs are applicable everywhere. But then it also says, "Asher tishmeru la'asos ba'aretz, asher nasan Hashem elokei avosecha l'chol rishta." But the pasuk also says that you shall keep the mitzvahs when, as long as you live in the land that God has given your forefathers, which makes it sound like mitzvahs are only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. So which one is it? Are mitzvahs applicable in Eretz Yisrael only, or are mitzvahs applicable everywhere? To which the Gemara says, "Acher sheri b'hakasuv umiyet," after the pasuk has an inclusionary phrase that makes it sound like mitzvos are obligatory everywhere, and then it has an exclusionary phrase or limiting phrase which makes it sound like it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. So which one is it? Say ulamad mimash sha'amar be'inyan. So I'll say, so let's look at the context. What's the context? Right after this pasuk, what is stated? Abed ta'abdun es kolam ekamos asher abdusham. Right after you have this pasuk, the Torah explicitly discusses the idea of wiping out idolatry, of erasing idolatry from the land. Ma'avodos kochavim miyuchadesh chovas aguf. So is it just like the prohibition to worship idolatry? Is what we call a chovas aguf. It's on the individual. Meaning no matter where I am, there's an obligation not to worship idolatry. And the prohibition to worship idolatry applies in the land of Israel, outside the land of Israel. Therefore, again, we make this distinction. And any mitzvah that is noheges boguf, any mitzvah that applies to my person, ultimately applies in the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel. So the Gemara essentially comes up with the principle. And the principle is the following. Any mitzvah that is what's called a chovas aguf. Chovas aguf means that it's a mitzvah on my person. I can't worship idolatry. I have to wear tefillin. I can only eat kasher. Kosher. I'm thinking about kasher. I can only eat kosher. Those will say that's called a chovas aguf. Those are tzitzis, right? So those are mitzvahs that are on my person, on my body. So those mitzvahs apply in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. However, again, mitzvahs which seem to be related to agriculture, which seem to be related to land, any geographically oriented mitzvahs, those mitzvahs, dafka, are related to Eretz Yisrael and not Chutz La'aretz. Now, of course, we'll see exceptions to that rule as well. We'll see, again, even though it's restated as a principle, we'll see exceptions. But b'derech klal, this is the distinction. Chovas aguf, bein b'chutz la'aretz, bein Eretz Yisrael. Chovas karka, what we'll call, is dafka Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. Petach Hamor is a chovas aguf. I have an obligation to do that. Right? It's on me. Chovas aguf doesn't just have to mean that it's mitzvos on my body. For example, mezuzah. Right? That's about mezuzah. So what it means is, those are mitzvos incumbent upon me, not related to soil. So as opposed to mitzvos related to soil. Any soil-related, geographically-related mitzvos will be Eretz Yisrael. Any non-geographically related mitzvos will be what we call chovas kavra, chutzlarz, ben Eretz Yisrael, ben chutzlarz. Gemara goes weiter. Now remember again, the Mishnah itself quoted exceptions to this, specifically Arla and Kilayim. So Arla, first fruits, Kilayim, forbidden mixture. So says the Gemara, Ibai Lahu. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So Ibai Lahu, Rabbi Lazar, Lekula Palik, O Lechumra Palik. So we'll say, here's the Shaila. When Rabbi Lazar comes along and argues on the Tanakama, so is Rabbi Lazar coming to be Machmir, or is Rabbi Lazar coming to be Mekil? Now, what does this mean? So look at the Gemara says. So on one hand, you can say Lechumra Palik. Maybe he's arguing to be machmir. What's the chumra? Vachi kamar. So listen to this. Vachi kamar tanakama. So the tanakama says the following. Remember, so just to follow the flow of the Mishnah, according to this first approach, the Mishnah begins by espousing principles. And the principles are, the rules are, any mitzvah that's tzluya ba'aretz, dependent on the land, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Any mitzvah that's ina tzluya ba'aretz, not dependent on the land, applies Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. Chutz mina arla v'kilayim. So the tanakama says, with two exceptions, Arla and Kilayim, even though they are mitzvos that are teluya ba'aretz, they're dependent on the land, the physical land, they apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. So Rabbi Lazar comes along and maybe he's saying the following: Ba'achi kamar tanakama, chutz mina arla mina kilayim, dehilcha sagimirila. Because remember, again, we're going to see there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that teaches us about arla that it applies in Chutz La'aretz, and there's a din d'rabbanon that applies kilayim. Af agav de'ikla meimar chovas karkahi. Even though you would be tempted to say these mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael because they're dependent on the soil, aval chadash ba'aretz in b'chutz la'aretz lo. Rabbi, say according to the Tanakama, chadash, the prohibition on the new grain before the Karban Omer is offered, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in chutz la'aretz. My taima, what's the reason of the Tanakama? Moshav. Because Rabbi say, we will see the Torah used lashon of b'chol moshvo sechem. Torah used lashon of in all of your dwellings, you shall not eat chadash. So the Gemara says la'acher yerusha v'yeshiva mashma. So whenever it says b'chol moshvo sechem, the Tanakama will say that what that means is this mitzvah only applies after what? After you inherit and settle the land. So you see that chadash is a mitzvah that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Va'as Rabbi Lazar Lameimer, Rabbi Lazar comes along and argues in the Tanakama, Af Chadash Noheg Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Lazar is coming along and saying that what? It's not true. Chadash applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. My Taima, what's Rabbi Lazar's logic? Moshav, because the Pasuk says, Moshav, Chadash shall apply in all of your dwellings, B'chol Makom Sha'atem Yoshvim. in every place in which you dwell. So Abba says, so version number one is that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, is actually coming to be more machmir than the Tanakama. The Tanakama is essentially saying that Chadash does not apply in Chutzla. So we'll say, the reason why you'll see this is very important, because you see this all the time, right? You'll see this again in certain places that will advertise, right, only serve Yashan products. If you buy the more Hamisha brands, you'll see they always say Yashan on it. So you'll see why this is a very important Lemaisa discussion. So on one hand, the first approach is that Rabbi Elazar is saying, he's arguing that Tanakama is being more machmir than Tanakama. Tanakama holds that Chadash does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Elazar is coming to say Chadash does apply in Chutz La'aretz. That's first possibility. Odilma, second possibility. Lekula palik. Maybe Rabbi Elazar is actually coming to be more makil, more lenient than Tanakama. How so? Vachik karma Tanakama. This is what the Tanakama means to say. Chutz mina orla v'akilayim dehil chasagi mirila. So Tanakama will say that orla and kilayim do apply in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because there is a halacha l'moshe misina. There is a Sinaitic law that says that it applies. V'kol shekein chadash demoshav. Because also, because at the end of the day, Tanakama says, and of course it goes without saying, that Chadash also applies. Why? The Moshav, because the Pasuk says Moshav Seichem, which means Komakum Sha'atem Yoshvim Mashma, wherever you dwell, this mitzvah applies. Va'asa Rabbi Elazar LeMeimar Chadash Inonoik Ela Ba'aretz. And Rabbi Elazar is coming to argue, and he says, no, Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. Why? The Moshav. The Moshav la'achar Yerusha v'yeshiva mashma, because Moshav ultimately means what? Moshav means, bless you, Moshav means only after you inherit and conquer the land. Umayaf, if that's the case, according to Belazar, what does it mean when he says af hachadosh akamaisa? It's coming to go ahead and add on to the first part of the Mishnah. In other words, the first part of the Mishnah will say that espouses the rule that any mitzvah that's Teluya Ba'aretz only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar is coming to say, oh, by the way, Af HaChadosh, even Chadosh falls into that category, is considered to be a mitzvah Teluya Ba'aretz and only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So as I see, understand the fundamental kasha. So they're trying to figure out over here, when Rabbi Elazar says Af HaChadosh, what is he coming to say? Is he coming to be machmir and say that even Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz? Or is he coming to be mekel and say that what? Afa Chadash, even Chadash only applies in Chutz La'aretz, does not apply in Eretz Yisrael. Fundamental dispute. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's understand this. Amar Abaye, man tana de palagali de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shmali. Supposed to say, so Abaye comes along and says, who's the Tanakam of the Mishnah? Meaning, who's the Tana of the Mishnah that argues on Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara suggests, Abaye suggests that it's Rabbi Shmal. Because where does Rabbi Shmal say, this Sanya, Lelamdecha, comes to teach us, Shekom makom shune emar bo moshav, eno ela la'acha Yerusha v'yishiv Rabbi Shmal. Supposed to say, Rabbi Shmal says the idea. The Torah often uses this phrase of b'chol moshvo seichem, in all of your dwellings. So the shaila, of course, is what does that phrase mean? Rabbi Shmuel suggests that whenever you see the word moshav in the context of a pasuk, that means to root the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. Moshav means that this mitzvah applies what we call achar Yerusha v'yeshiva. After you inherit the land and settle the land, then this particular mitzvah applies. This is Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says Rabbi Shmuel. One second. Hare Shabbos. Shine emar bo moshavos. Rabbi will say, but again, by the mitzvah of Shabbos, the Torah uses Moshe, right? B'chol Moshe v'osechem, lo savir esh, right? Lo savir esh b'chol Moshe v'osechem b'yom HaShabbos. You shall not kindle a fire b'chol Moshe v'osechem in all of your dwellings. So Rabbi will say, so understand what that means. Rabbi Shmuel said that what? Anytime you see the word Moshe, what does that mean? What does that mean? Only Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva says, really, Rabbi Shmuel? If that's the case, by Shabbos it says, B'chol Moshe v'osechem. Are you coming to say that Shabbos only applies in Eretz Yisrael? And yet we know it's not true, but no, I guess, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. And yet we know Shabbos applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Amrei, to which Rabbi Shmuel says, no. Amrei, Shabbos kavachomer asya. Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz and the kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Ma mitzvos kalos nohagos Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. What we call mitzvos kalos. Mitzvos kalos means light, right? Light. You know, what it means in this context is less severe. Less severe. Mitzvos kalos applies in Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Shabbos chamira l'kol shekin. Then it goes without saying that what? That Shabbos certainly applies Shabbos certainly applies ultimately again in Chutz La'aretz as well. So the Gemara says, Mid-Amra. Now, okay, so let's pause for just a moment. Now remember, what's the question we're dealing with? We're trying to figure out over here, when Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, Af HaChadosh, what does that statement mean? Does that mean Af HaChadosh, he's being machmir and saying even Chadosh applies in Chutz La'aretz? Or is he being mekel and saying Af HaChadosh, even Chadosh only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but not in Chutz La'aretz? So now the Gemara says, now we can understand this. So the Gemara says, Mid-Amra Abaye, Man Tana de Palik Aleid Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shmuel Shmamina Rabbi Eliezer Luchumra Palik Shmamina. So we'll say, now watch this. Now if you're going to, so just follow this train of thought for just a moment. If you're going to say that the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, remember, what does Rabbi Shmuel say? Rabbi Shmuel Shita is that whenever you see the word Moshav in the context of a particular mitzvah, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? It means only Eretz Yisrael. Bosai, in the mitzvah of Chadash, the Torah uses the Lashon of Moshav, which means that according to the Tanakhama Rabbi Yishmael, the mitzvah of Chadash only applies where? Yes. In Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, when Rabbi Lazar comes along and says, Af HaChadash, what is he coming to say? He's coming to say that Chadash also applies in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, it's coming to be Machmir. And the Gemara says, Shmami, no, this indeed is true. So the fundamental machlokes, so again, interestingly enough, the Tanakhama essentially says, any mitzvah that is related to the land applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, with two notable exceptions, Arla and Kilayim. But according to the Tanakhama, the mitzvah of Chadash does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because the Torah uses the Lashon of Moshav. Rabbi Elazar comes along and his Machmir and says, no, Tanakhama, I disagree with you. The mitzvah of Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So says the Gemara, Shmamin Michti, Rabbi Shmuel Hechagai. So now let's go back for just a moment. So Rabbi Shmuel's statement, what context is Rabbi Shmuel coming from? To which the Gemara says, coming from Nisachim. We'll say Nisachim refers to wine libations. Wine libations. Rabbi Shmuel, so let's, when Nisachim, now when it comes to wine libations, Amadeis, top of Amadeis, Bia Umoshav Ksibbu. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to the libations, the Torah uses the Lashon of both Bia and Moshav. In other words, we'll say, the Pasuk says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael va'amarta aleihem, speak to the Jewish people and say unto them, Ki savou el eretz moshvo seichem asher ani nosein lochem, when they will come to the land in which they will dwell. So we'll say, so by Nisachim, by wine libations, there's like a double lashon. It's what we call bia u'moshav. Bia u'moshav means a coming into the land, and a moshav, a settling of the land. So the Gemara says, Hachi kamar, Lelamid shekom makom shene'emar bia u'moshav, Eino ela la'acher Yerusha v'yeshiva. Did Rabbi Shmuel, so both say, so one second, now, the Gemara is saying, let's analyze for just a moment. What Rabbi Shmuel is saying is, wherever the Torah says both Bia and Moshav, that means what? That this mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and not in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, Ihachi. So both say, so now what we're saying is something else. That Rabbi Shmuel is not just simply saying Moshav. You see, up until now, we thought that this machlokes, or this discussion, was just about mitzvos, where the Torah says Moshav. In this original discussion with the Torah and the Nesachim, Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a case where the Torah says both Bia and Moshav. So Rabbi Shmuel will say, where the Torah states both Bia and Moshav, that is clear that that mitzvah only applies when? After you come into the land. That's clear. Iyachi, if that's the case, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva hare Shabbos, shene'emar bo moshavos, va'amar Shabbos kal v'chomer, hi ne'male ana bia u'moshav ka'imna. Let's say, so listen to this. Remember the previous conversation? In the previous price, remember how this went. Rabbi Shmuel said, anytime the Torah says moshav, that means what? That the mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Akiva said, really, Rabbi Shmuel, what about what? What about Shabbos? Torah says moshav. To which Rabbi Shmuel said, no, Shabbos is a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? If mitzvos kalos, quote-unquote, again, more lenient mitzvos apply in Chutz La'aretz, certainly Shabbos, which is chamura, says, why don't you just give a simpler answer? Meaning Rabbi Shmuel holds that the only time a mitzvah applies in Eretz Yisrael is when? When there's bia and moshav. But Shabbos only has moshav, doesn't have bia. Therefore, what? It's clear that Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. To which the Gemara says, Chad va'od karmale. Rabbi Shmuel is saying, in reality, Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz for two reasons. Chad va'od. I'm going to give you one reason, and I'm going to give you another reason. Right? What's the Chad va'od? chada da on the bio umoshav kaimna. So number one, the reason why Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz is why? Because the only time that mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael are when there's both bia and moshav. When there's both the coming into the land and the settling of the land. However, Shabbos only has moshav, not bia. Vo'od, furthermore, dika amrit hare Shabbos shene'emar bo moshavos. And even though we said before that by Shabbos it says moshavos, but nevertheless, Shabbos kavachomer hi. But still, even though it says Moshav by Shabbos, you could still make a kavachomer by Shabbos. What's the kavachomer? Like we said before, that if more lenient mitzvos will apply in Chutz La'aretz, all the more so what? All the more so more stringent mitzvos like Shabbos will also apply in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara says, but my kamiflagi. So we'll say at the end of the day, what is the nature of the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? So it's actually quite interesting. Look at Rashi for just a moment. But my kamiflagi, it's the first short line in Rashi. Says my kamiflagi, my Rabbi Akiva shelo lamad kirabi Yishmo dechevan dechsev bia umoshav baaretz kamar laachi yushav yishiva. So what's that? The Gemara is asking, what is the fundamental issue between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? In other words, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva subscribe to Rabbi Yishmo's view that wherever you see a bia and moshav in a pasuk, that comes to limit the application of the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael? So let's listen to this. It's actually really interesting. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Kirvu nisachim b'midmar kamiflagi. They're arguing about whether or not nisachim, wine libations, were offered up in the midbar. It's really fascinating, machlokes. Were wine libations offered up in the desert or not? Rabbi Shmuel Savar, lo kirvu. Rabbi say, now let's be clear over here. What they're arguing about is the following. Everyone agrees that when it came to communal karbanos, when it came to communal offerings, they were accompanying wine libations. The shaila was when individuals offered up karbanos, were wine libations part of individual sacrificial service or not? So Rabbi Shmuel holds, lo kirvu nusachim mibar. Rabbi Shmuel holds that individuals did not offer up wine libations in the desert, but Rabbi Akiva sabar, kirvu nusachim mibar. And Rabbi Akiva holds that no, they did offer up wine libations in the desert. Mostly, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. You're going to see that this, I know this doesn't sound like the most riveting of machloksim, but you're going to see why this is an exceptionally important machlokes. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel Savalo Kibu Nusachim Amidbar. They did not offer up wine libations in the desert. V'afagav, dichsev b'miluim, v'ze'asher ta'as se'ala mizbeach, uksiv bei nusachim, ba'olas atomid b'karban sibar hu dahavu. So even though it says by the miluim, by the offerings to dedicate the mizbeach, that this is what you shall do for the mizbeach. And it talks about offering up wine libations. So Rabbi Shmuel suggests that was only for communal offerings. Dahavu aval yichidim lo nischaivu b'nesachim ela mitbias haaretz ve'elach. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we'll say that individuals only became liable or responsible to bring wine libations once we came into the land of Eretz Yisrael, or the land of Israel, la'achar Yerusha v'yeshiva, after the land was inherited and settled. Now, understand what this means. So the way that Yishma understands the libations is, communal kabbarnos were obligated in wine libations. Individuals did not have to bring wine libations until we came in and settled the land. Now, both say, according to Yishma, why is that? Because the pasuk says, bia v'yeshiva, the coming into the land and the settling of the land. I both say that what Rabbi Shmuel then does is he creates a principle from here. What's the principle? That any time in the Torah it says bia and yeshiva by a particular mitzvah, that means what? That means to limit the obligation of that mitzvah till after you come in, settle, and inherit the land. On the
what is one libation?
Oh. So it means that certain karbanos, you have to pour wine on the mizbeach. In addition to whatever the karban was, you also have to pour wine on the mizbeach. That's called nesachim. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, those only apply for communal offerings, not for individual offerings. Understand, like I said, that by itself makes us say to ourselves, so what? The reason why it's important is because Rabbi Shmuel says that's a paradigm. Why is that? Why is it that way? Because it said, bia and yeshiva by the libations, by the nesachim. Therefore, we isolate a principle. And the principle is wherever you see bia and yeshiva, it means that that mitzvah only applies once you come into the land and inherit the land. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, Savar, kiru nusachim amidbar, Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, also said, no, so nusachim, wine libations, in other words, the pouring of the wine for the carbon, was done also in the midbar. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, Savar, kiru nusachim, liyochid b'midbar, So Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, holds that no, that even for personal karbanos, people brought, individuals brought nesachim. Hilchach al karkach lat inar nesachim lebama gedola lo itzirchra shekvar tuuna vaomedes biyahamur b'torakan lo huskra ella mipne bamas yochid shehutsha bebiyasan legilgal kol yudal shana. So we'll listen to this. So according to Rabbi Akiva, individuals were bringing the nesachim wine libations even in the midbar as well. If that's the case, why does the pasuk have to say bia and yeshiv? Rabbi Akiva, we'll listen to this. This is really fascinating. So understand. There was a dynamic switch when it came into Eretz Yisrael. You see, when we were in the Midbar, you were only permitted to offer karbanos in one place. And that one place was Mishkan, right? What we call the Bama Gedola. Bama Gedola refers to the large altar in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan itself. When we came into Eretz Kenan, there was this period of Kibosh V'chiluk, when we were conquering, fighting, where what we call a Bama Kitana, individual altars became permitted. So according to Rabbi Akiva, he wants to say that individuals, in fact, did offer up nesachim in the midbar, and the difference is when we came into the land. But if you wanted to offer up karbanos on your own personal altar in the mizbeach, that was aser. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, what became permitted was what we call the bama kitana, individual altars. That's the Torah is coming to be matir over here. That when you come into Eretz Yisrael again, until the Mishkan gets set up, then ultimately people could use their own private altars as well. So the Gemara, some rabbis, suppose they understand that this little machlokes, by whether or not individual nesachim ultimately were brought in the desert, becomes a major machlokes in Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. And essentially the machlokes becomes, how do you darshan, when you see that the Torah speaks about Bia and Moshav, by a particular mitzvah, does that come to limit the mitzvah territory Yisrael or not? That's the fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, Abai says, Hai Tana Debe Rabbi Shimon, Mafik Mi'idach Tana Debe Rabbi Shimon. So Abai just says, by the way, this statement from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon shters or undermines another statement from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon. How so? The Tana Debe Rabbi Shimon, Hoel B'nam Rubios, but Torah Stam. So since the Torah speaks about in general certain mitzvot, it speaks out when you come into the land, and one of those mitzvos, it dafka speaks about the idea that it only applies after Yerusha and Yeshiva, inheriting and settling the land. Suppose, listen to this statement. So in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shimon, they espouse the following idea. There are many mitzvos in the Torah where the Torah phrases the mitzvah as, when you come into the land, you shall do this mitzvah. And in one of those occasions, it points out that it's dafka after you inherit and settle the land. Therefore, again, that one statement sheds light on all of the other statements. That wherever the Torah speaks about the obligation of a mitzvah after you come into the land, after you come into the land means what? After you come in, inherit and divide up the land. And Bosnia, what is this talking about? Look at Rashi. Hai Tana de Rabbi Shimon, de la el, de les la Yerusha vi Yeshiva el hecha de ksev Moshe ben Bia, mafik mi idak tana, me vitsay, mozo mi daito, shal tana acher, tafilo ksibe el abil luchuda, ene el ach Yerusha vi Yeshiva. Uparak lecha akas beachas men, kabe melech. Bosnia, what's the one specific case that the Gemara is referring to? Over here, by a king. Why does it say by a king? Ki savo el aretz, vi yirishta, vi yishafta ba, va'amarta asima alay melech. So we'll say, now watch this. Remember, in the first opinion that we quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel wanted to say that only when the Torah says both Bia and Yeshiva, the Torah says both of those things, then what? Then Lamaisa, what that means is that mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. There's another statement that came, that was attributed to Rabbi Shmuel, which said what? That whenever the Torah just says Bia, just says coming into the land, we understand Bia to mean Achar Bia V'Yeshiva, after the coming in and the settling of land. Now, where do we know that from? We know that from Melech, from the king. Because the Torah explicitly says that when you come into the land and you inherit it and you conquer it and you live in it and you'll say, I want to establish for myself a king. So the mitzvah to establish a king only applies after Bia and Yeshiva, only after entering into the land and settling the land. This statement of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel says, so too, any time that the Torah is coming into the land, it means what? It means coming in and settling and inheriting. Most of them understand the distinction there, right? if you just hold that entry into the land triggers the obligation for a particular mitzvah, that means as soon as you enter the land, even before you've conquered it. On the other hand, if you hold there's the obligation of bia and yeshiva, that means only once the land has, only once you've entered and what? And settled the land, which means conquer the land, do the mitzvahs become applicable? So the Gemara says, v'idach. The other one is, Mishum Dahavi, I'm sorry, the other opinion will say, Mishum Dahava bi Mishum Dahava Melech Ubikurm Shnek Suvra Bayin Kachad. The other opinion will say, no, that you can't learn anything. Why? Because Melech and Bikurim, but Shabbat say Melech and Bikurim are two mitzvos where the Torah says, where the Torah explicitly says Bia and Yeshiva. So the other opinion will say that Melech and Bikurim, Kurim of the first fruits, are Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad. We learned about this a lot last week. What Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad? Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad means the following. When the Torah espouses the same principle in two different places, that tells us that what? That it's coming to teach us that these cases are not the rules, but rather, again, they're the exceptions to the rules. So their opinion will say that Melech, the obligation of king, and Bikurim, and the obligation to bring the first fruits, are Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad. I'm also saying, wasn't it Shnei Ksuvin Ke'echad? By both Melech and Bikurim, the Torah explicitly says that when do you become obligated in these mitzvos? Only after Bia V'Yeshiva. Only after entering into the land and settling the land. The fact Torah says that twice tells me what? That obligation or that concept only applies by Melech and Bikurim. In other words, that it's only by Melech and Bikurim that the mitzvah to establish a king and the mitzvah to bring the first fruit is only after Bia V'Yeshiva. But any other time that the Torah says when you enter into the land, the mitzvah is triggered when? When? As soon as you enter, even before you settle and conquer. Because whenever the Torah states the same principle twice, you can't learn from this principle. The other opinion will say, no, Melech and Bikurim and Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad. Why not? Because of Rachmana Melech and Okasa Bikurim. Because had the Torah just stated the king, the concept by king, by the Melech, and had not stated Bikurim, as we'll say, had the Torah only told me that by a Melech, the mitzvah of a melech is to only establish a king once you have entered and settled slash conquered. But would not have said anything about Bikurim, I would have thought, Hava Amina, Bikurim de Kamis Hani La'altar. I would have thought that the halacha is that what? That Bikurim, the obligation of Bikurim should be triggered when? Should be triggered immediately. That's what I would have assumed. Because at the end of the day, remember, I get benefit from the fruit of the land immediately, and therefore I would assume that the obligation to bring Bikurim would be immediately as well. Therefore, again, the Torah has to state Bikurim. Because of Bikurim, the cause of Melech, and if the Torah would have just said Bikurim and not stated the king, and I would have learned that from Bikurim, that just as Bikurim only becomes obligatory after, again, entry into the land and conquering of the land, so too, again, the obligation to establish a king also only occurs after entering and conquering the land. Hava Amina, I would have said Melech, the Darko Lichbosh La'altar. Suppose it's just the opposite. I would have thought that when is there an obligation to establish a king? When? Immediately upon entering the land. Why? Why? Because the king will be exceptionally helpful for what? For conquering. So I might have thought that in fact the king is something you should establish immediately upon entering into the land. V'idach, another opinion will say, Nichtov Rachmana Melech v'lo bai Bikurim. Other opinion would have said that let the Torah write Melech, that again the obligation to go ahead and establish a king is only upon entering and conquering the land, and you wouldn't have to write Bikurim. And I would have said what? Va'ana Amina Uma Melech Delichbosh La'ach Yerusha V'Yeshiva Bikurim Lokol Sheking. Because also I would have said if you have to wait for a king until after entering the land and conquering the land, when even though the normal derech would have been to appoint a king before you conquer, so he could help you conquer the land, then certainly Bikurim should only be brought after entering and conquering the land. V'idach, and the other opinion would say, Ikasav Hachiyif would have said like this, Hava Amina Mina Dahavi Achala. I would have thought Abbas said that the truth is, had the Torah remained silent, I would have automatically assumed that the obligation to bring Bikurim begins immediately upon entering into the land. Why? Because Bikurim should be no different than Chala. Abbas said the mitzvah to be mafresh Chala begins when? Began as soon as you entered into the land and you had dough. So as soon as you had dough, there was an obligation to go out and separate Chala. I would have thought Chala and Bikurim are kind of in the same parsha. Therefore, again, if the obligation for Chala begins immediately upon entering into the land, then what? The obligation for Bikurim as well. Therefore, again, Kamash Malano. Therefore, we'll say, again, you see that both challah and bikurim, that both bikurim and melech both had to be stated explicitly. Bless you. Both had to be stated explicitly. One would not have been able to learn out one from the other. So says the Gemara, v'hashta da amrit chovas agof nohagas bein be'aretz yisrael bein chutz la'aretz. So we'll say now this is going to get very interesting. So now, so we'll say, so let's go full circle to what we know. So here's what we know so far. What we know is the Mishnah gave us a principle. The principle was any mitzvah that is nohagas ba'aretz, and we'll define that as dependent on soil. Any soil-based mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. On the other hand, any mitzvah that's a chovas haguf, any mitzvah that applies to my person, my person doesn't just mean like a mitzvah I do to my body, but it means what? A mitzvah I do with my body that is not dependent on soil applies in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael as well. Fine. Tanna Kamma said, with two exceptions, Arla and Kilayim. Arla and Kilayim apply in Chutz La'aretz according to Tanna Kamma, and we saw Rabbi Eliezer is coming to be Machmir and say, oh, by the way, it's not just Arla and Kilayim, but it's also what? Also Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz as well. So that I will say, so far is what we have established. That was established. We saw again, so we've also identified that Tanna Kamma is Rabbi Yishmael. So really, essentially, we have Machlokes Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Elazar. So that's what we have so far. We also, again, see a fundamental dispute had the Darsh and the Pesukim. Because here's also what's causing these problems. Not problems, challenges. What's causing the challenges, the Torah uses a very strange verbiage of Bi'al Aretz. There are certain mitzvahs where the Torah seems to connect their obligation to the coming into the land, but yet what? We know that they apply outside the land of Israel as well. So the fundamental machlokas is, what type of verbiage is necessary to make a mitzvah dependent on the land of Israel? And that seems to be machlokas in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva again. Rabbi Shmuel seems to say, if the Torah says both Bia and Moshav, that means, that double lashon of entering into the land and settling the land tells you that this is a mitzvah hatuluya ba'aretz. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, seems to say that no, it could be that even the lashon of just Bia itself can make a mitzvah hatuluya ba'aretz. That's the fundamental dispute. Okay, so now we're going to take a step back. Let's go back and discuss our principle. V'hasha da amrit, chobas agorim, says, so now we're on Lam Zayinim with base. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, Chai. Remember the hashgacha on this. Thank you for that. All right, so now, 18 lines are from the bottom. The Gemara is going to say this. Now we're going to go back now and discuss the principle. So v'hashta, now that we've established the amrit chovas haguf nohages, So now one principle everyone agrees with is what? That any mitzvah that's a chovas haguf, any mitzvah that applies to my person, and again, which means any non-soil-based mitzvah, now that we've established that applies in Eretz Chutz La'aretz, so we'll say we have a problem. What's the problem? Moshav dekasav rachmona gabi Shabbos lamali. So here's the problem. So now I understand that Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz. How do I know the Shabbos applies in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz? So how do I know that? Because it's not a soil-based mitzvah. Leaving us, you know, Rabbi Shmuel had his whole Kavachomer. We don't need the Kavachomer. It's simple. Shabbos is not a land-based mitzvah. So of course it applies in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. But here's the problem. What's the problem? Why does the Torah therefore say, B'chol Moshav Seichem? The Torah uses Lashon of Moshav. Moshav, we just established before, usually means what? Usually means Eretz Yisrael. So now if I know that Shabbos applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, so why does the Torah use the word Moshav Seichem? That drives us crazy. Moshav Seichem usually is there to link a mitzvah to Eretz Yisrael. To which you want to listen to this. I'll tell you why. It's derech. Sacha dait chamina. Hoyel upi inyana demodos ksiva. Tiboy kiddush ki mo'ados. You want to listen to this. Because I'm going to put the following. Shabbos is written in the section with all of the Yomim Tovim. I might have thought that the same way that in order for Yom Tov to occur, what has to happen? There has to be Kiddush HaChodesh based and has to establish the new month. Because remember again, it's the establishment of the new month that ultimately establishes the rhythm for the Yomim Tovim. So I might have thought that since Shabbos is written in the section of the Yomim Tovim, just like Yomim Tovim require Kiddush HaChodesh, so too Shabbos requires Kiddush HaChodesh. Take a look at Rashi. Tiboy Kiddush. Beis Din. So we'll have the following. Just like Yom Tov really requires a declaration of the new month by the Beis Nagel, by the Sanhedrin Yerushalayim, so maybe Shabbos, which is written in the section of the Yom Tovim, also requires Kiddush. So what does that mean? Maybe Beis Din, every Friday afternoon, has to get up and say what? Shabbos. Shabbos, the same way every single month they have to say Mekudosh, right? The new month is sanctified. Since Shabbos is written in the section of the Moados, maybe every single Erev Shabbos, Beis Din has to get up and say Marana V'Rabbanan Mekudosh. It's Shabbos in an hour. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, no. We'll say Kamash Malon what? What does it mean Kamash Malon? Kamash Malon, B'chol Moshe V'Seichem. What does B'chol Moshe V'Seichem teach us, Rabbi Osai? That we declare Shabbos, each of us in our home, B'chol Moshe V'Seichem, and there is no need for a general declaration of Shabbos by Beis Din. Isn't that a beautiful drasha? So Yom Tov, you require a declaration of the new month. In order to establish Yom Tov, the Havamina again is that by Shabbos should require a similar declaration because it's written in the section of Yomim Tovim. Therefore, the Torah says, "B'chol Moshe V'Seichem lo savir eish, b'chol Moshe V'Seichem yom haShabbos." Moshe V'Seichem teaches me we each declare Shabbos in our own home, and there is no need for a general declaration by Beis Din. Fine. Next, Moshe of the Kasev Rachmana Gavichila V'Dam Lamali. So we'll say next. There's a prohibition to eat blood and forbidden fats. That prohibition applies everywhere. Eretz on Chutzlarts. If that's the case, that it applies in Chutzlarts as well. Same thing. Torah uses the lashon of Moshav by the prohibition of Chilav and Dam. If it applies in Chutzlarts, then what's the kasha? Why does it say Moshav? Oh, I'll tell you why. It's just Sagadai Tchamina. It's necessary because you would have thought the following. Because since the prohibition of blood and forbidden fats is written in the section of Karbanos, I would have thought what? Bizman di'ika karban nitzar chile v'dam. That when there are karbanos, that's when blood and fats are prohibited. Bizman deleka karban lo. But when there are no karbanos, then there's no prohibition on forbidden fats. Therefore what? Kamashon lobos. And therefore, kamashon, what does the Torah say? Moshvo seichem. Again, to teach you that what? Wherever you are and whenever you are, fats as well as blood ultimately are forbidden. So let's say you see a theme here. What's the pattern? The pattern is, we, up until this point, we always thought that Moshe V'Seichem meant Eretz Yisrael. Now, what are we seeing? That Moshe V'Seichem means your homes. And your homes means what? Wherever those homes may be situated. So even in Chutzlar, it's amazing. Next, Moshe, also listen to this, amazing, Hashkacha Pratis. Moshe of the Kasav Rachmana Gabi Matzo Umaror. Amazing, right? So what happens? So the Torah says Moshav by Matzah and Maror also. So how does it say Moshav by Matzah and Maror? So we know Matzah and Maror apply in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz Laretz. So why does the Torah use Lashon of Moshav by Matzah and Maror? I'll tell you. Sakadai Tchamina, I would have thought Ho'eluksiv Amatzos Umerorim Yochluhu. I might have thought that the Pasuk says that you shall eat the carbon Pesach with Matzah and Maror. Therefore, I would have thought that what? Bizman dika pesach in. Bizman delaka pesach lo. I would have thought both say what? When is there a mitzvah matzah maror? Only when? When there's karban pesach. But when there is no karban pesach, there is no mitzvah of matzah and maror. Therefore, again, kamash malon no. Kamash malon Torah yuz lashon moshvo seichem by pesach to teach us what? Wherever you are living, there is an obligation to go ahead and eat matzah and maror. Next, Bia de Kasev Rachmana Gavet Tvilinu Petar Hamar Lamli. So we'll say now another kasha. I'm sorry?
How does that tie in here?
Matzah. Correct. Matzah is still the rice wherever you are. So says the Gemara, next, Bia de Kasev Rachmana Gavet Tvilinu Petar Hamar Lamli. So we'll say another kasha. So remember, the Torah, like in this we started out with, the Torah links the mitzvos of Tvilin as well as Petar Chamor, ultimately to the entry into Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Torah use Lashon of Bia coming into the land by Tefillin and by Petar Chamor, if we've already established that? Well, Rabbi Sanhedrin, these are both Chovas Gavra. Like these are Chovas Haguf. These are not soil-based mitzvahs. So they obviously apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. If that's the case, why does the Torah use the Lashon of Kisavo El Art and you will come into the land? Listen to how beautiful this is. So we'll say this is necessary in accordance with the teaching of Dvei Yishma, who says that what? Asay mitzvah zu shebishvila tikarnes laretz. Do these mitzvahs in order that you will be privileged to enter into the land. Now, Bosan, interestingly enough, this is quite a beautiful idea that Tana Deir Yishmael is saying that the Torah is telling us that the way ultimately to get into Eretz Yisrael, the way to retain Eretz Yisrael is through our mitzvos. That ultimately, again, if we do mitzvos, then that is the way in which we are able to go ahead and, number one, acquire, and number two, ultimately retain the land. Now, it's interesting to note, by the way, that the Torah teaches this lesson by tefillin and by Petra Chamor, right? So first of all, Petra Chamor, Bosai, I've been to one Petra Chamor in my entire life. So and again, most people aren't usually getting into Petra Chamors. So what's the pshat? So Bosai, it's an incredible yisod. So what tefillin is a chovas aguf. So what Tanya Yerushalayim is saying like this, Kosh Baruch Hu tells us, if you want Eretz Yisrael is the essence of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael is the paradigm of Kedusha. There are two ways in which you merit Kedusha, like two ways in which you merit Eretz Yisrael. Number one is tefillin. Let's say tefillin refers to ultimately Kedusha Saguf. It's important to make sure that our bodies are holy. Our bodies are holy, and that which we do with our bodies ultimately remain holy. The guf itself has to be kaddish. The guf itself always has to be treated like a keli, like a vessel for the neshama. Therefore, the behaviors we engage in, the physicality we engage in, how we place the emphasis on the gashmi, that has to be kaddish. What does Petra Chamor represent? Petra Chamor represents the way we relate to our materialism. The chamor ultimately represents wealth. Remember again, you know, the Gemara says that every Jew left the tribe with multiple donkeys. Right? Why donkeys? Ultimately, again, because they carried the wealth of Egypt. So the donkey represents material wealth. I'm sorry? It was the biblical Lexus. Right. Good. I was going to say Cadillac, but okay, you could do Lexus also. So the Gemara says, what's the pshat? So Kedusha will say, you know, the Gemara says that you could tell a lot about a person by koso, kiso, and kaso. Right? How does a person act when they drink? How does a person act in moments of anger? And kiso, how does a person spend their money? So we'll say how a person relates to materialism speaks volumes about where they're holding in their ruchnius. So there are some people that relate to their materialism that if I earned it, it's mine. It's mine, and it's me to enjoy. Rabosai, the truth is, it's not true. You know, if a person is blessed with wealth, Rabosai, it's very important yisod, that wealth belongs to no one. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Liyah kesef, liyah zav. The gold belongs to me, the silver belongs to me, the dollars belong to me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has appointed certain people in this world to be the custodians of his wealth, to be the custodians of his wealth. Meaning, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not the pshat, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made one person wealthy. It's not the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to have more, I want you to buy more than someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my gabay tzedakah. We'll say, if a person is blessed with wealth, you are the Ribono Shel Olam's gabay tzedakah. What's the gabay tzedakah's job? So gabay tzedakah says, look at this, there's $1 million in the accounts. So the gabay tzedakah says, Baruch Hashem, I've got $1 million at my disposal. No, he doesn't. And we'll say, in fact, if the gabay tzedakah uses that $1 million at his disposal, so what happens? He's misappropriated, right? Sanctified funds. We'll say, if a person is blessed with wealth and they think that wealth is there to go ahead and do for them, they're misappropriating ma'os tzedakah. Now again, of course, a person is permitted to enjoy their wealth. The person is encouraged to enjoy their wealth. But they must always understand that ultimately they're the Ribon Shalom's gabay tzedakah. It's not for them. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the pshat. So Peter Chamor represents Yashmius. The Ribon Shalom is saying is like this. If you want Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael represents Kedusha in life, there are two ways in which Kedusha is acquired. Number one, the guf must be kadosh. I must sanctify myself. And number two, I must sanctify my money. If I use my money in a sanctified way, if I use my materialism in a sanctified way, if I uplift my guf, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then you get Eretz Yisrael. Then you get Kedusha life. That's ultimately, Tana Deir Yishmael, Asei Mitzvah Zu, do these mitzvahs of tefillin, and ultimately of Petra Chamor, Shebishvila Tikaneis La'aretz. In their merit, in the merit of sanctifying my body, in the merit of sanctifying my money, ultimately this is our ticket to Eretz Yisrael, and this is the way in which we retain Eretz Yisrael. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in the bottom of Lamed Zayin tomorrow.